newsmen. Vote, and then get the results on WHO in Des Moines. It's 10:15.
The following is a paid political broadcast sponsored by the Republican State Central Committee. During this quarter hour, you will hear the Governor of Iowa, the Honorable William S. Beardsley, speaking from the Governor's home in Des Moines. Governor Beardsley.
Thank you, Del Donahue, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The past 2 days, I have been reflecting on my experiences in this campaign, which is drawing to a close tonight. During the past few months, I have been in hundreds of Iowa communities and have visited with thousands of you in your homes, on your farms, in your cities and towns. I have had an opportunity to see at first hand the things that are being done and need to be done in the interests of the people of our great state. In deciding the issues of this campaign, it seems to me the proper basis on which to make the decision is what is best for the people of Iowa. I assure you that in discharging the duties of governor of this great state, I have constantly made my decisions and formulated policies from that basis. What is best for the people of Iowa? What is fair and what is right? In this campaign, as in all previous campaigns in which I have participated, I have never descended to the level of a demagogue, nor have I ever stooped to the practice of muckraking or mudslinging. It has appalled me at times to observe that some candidates not only have resorted to such low-level tactics, but have even enlisted people of questionable reputation to do the work. Surely, statesmanship, of all things, statesmanship of Iowa standards is made of finer stuff than this. I have ignored the assaults of character assassins and political marplots for two reasons. First, because the fine sense of the general public is quick to see through their dirty practices and discard their statements as trash. Second, it is utterly impossible to keep up with such people, because with the disposition of one false charge created by evil minds, a dozen more false charges appear. Thus you can see the utter impossibility of attempting to answer such charges. The honest public official can only take refuge in the tolerance, honesty, and understanding of intelligent voters. The question, therefore, is, shall the election of the next governor of this state be based on scurrilous and unfounded personal charges made by desperate men who would do anything to gain control of the state, or on the broad record of the accomplishments of this administration and its service to the people of Iowa? It is a question as to whether this great beneficial program shall be maintained and carried forward, or abandoned to political opportunists who have presented no program whatsoever showing any promise of fulfillment for the improvement, growth, and development of our state. It has been said that sometimes a man is to be respected for the enemies he has made. I submit, ladies and gentlemen, that this is applicable when you consider the forces that are opposing my reelection as governor of Iowa. Syndicate gamblers, racketeers, and all those who have fought against our vigorous enforcement of the law are working to defeat this administration. Grafters who would like to exact a profit from the sale of liquor to the state of Iowa, and powerful liquor interests who will support any measure to increase the sale of alcoholic beverages in Iowa, are all opposed to this administration. Influence peddlers and special interest groups who seek special favors long ago discovered that it was impossible to win any consideration from this administration. and they too are against my reelection. As a result, I have become a favorite target for all the mudslingers who would gain by my defeat. These smear charges have all been proved false many times, but for the benefit of those who may not have heard or read the true facts concerning my so-called income tax case, I feel obliged once again to make a brief statement. First of all, every dollar of my income was fully accounted for by me. Not $1 of it was concealed. Second, the Commissioner of Internal Revenue announced on January 25th of this year that there was no basis for a case against me and that his opinion was shared unanimously by all responsible officials of his bureau who had investigated or reviewed the case. This decision of Democrat officials dominated by the party opposed to me should certainly be the most convincing evidence of my innocence. Surely, no fair-minded person can believe that under these circumstances, the charges would have been dropped if there was any evidence against me. Just one more detail. The question as to why I paid what I considered an excessive tax settlement. When the government audit was completed and a settlement was proposed by the government, I found my problem was complicated by several factors. First, my accountant had been called to active duty with the Army Air Force, just as the matter was ready for disposition. To have hired another accountant to re-audit my books would have required several months' time and a lot of money. Legal counsel to represent me would have cost additional thousands of dollars. And you must remember that I would have had to prepare for a case which would be in the hands of the political party in power in Washington, which could hardly be termed as friendly to me. Therefore, on the advice of my accountant, I paid the proposed settlement in full. Actually, many honest and well-meaning people have had tax difficulties, and many more will, as long as the federal tax laws remain as complicated as they are. Looking to the election tomorrow, the issue resolves itself into this question. The voters are asked by the opposition to accept the negative appeal of harping critics with no constructive program whatsoever to meet the problems of the state, as compared with a constructive, progressive, and sound business-like administration serving the best interests of the people everywhere in this state. My platform for the future is based on what has already been accomplished, building on the solid foundation of the programs which have been started. We have established plans for the next 2 years which will set even greater standards of performance. Let's look at the record. During my administration, state aid for schools has been placed on a permanent basis and has been increased approximately 70%. I now recommend a further increase in state aid to fully cover 25% of the present cost of operating our public schools. Not only will this help local school districts to meet the rising costs due to inflation and increase in enrollment, but also it will help relieve the heavy school tax burden that is levied on property at the local level. Let me emphasize that I have and always shall defend local control of schools. Consolidation is right only with the vote of approval of all affected school districts. As long as I am governor, no community in Iowa need fear loss of its school without its consent. In January 1949, when I took office as governor, our road program was virtually at a standstill. In 1947, only 775 miles of farm-to-market roads were improved. Each year under my administration, we have increased this program. This past year, almost 5,000 miles of farm-to-market roads were graded or surfaced. I have also pledged the improvement, widening, and construction of an additional 1,000 miles of primary highways in the next 2 years on a pay-as-we-go basis. In view of the fact that we have more than doubled the rate of primary highway construction in the past 4 years, you may be sure that this is a realistic goal, and we can build and improve that additional 1,000 miles of highway without a bond issue. My program also calls for the grading or surfacing of 12,200 more miles of farm-to-market roads in the next 2 years. Think of this in terms of the thousands of farms to be served by all-weather farm-to-market roads, and you will understand my determination to achieve our goals. Our great soil and water conservation program has already achieved significant results. We have tripled the number of Iowa farms with individual soil conservation plans in the past 3.5 years. By the end of 1954, our program calls for operation of 1/3 of all Iowa farms under individual soil and water conservation plans. By nailing the drain drop where it falls, by making it walk instead of run, we will build up our topsoil. Thus, we will ensure even greater yields from each acre of Iowa's fertile farmland. By controlling the water, we can reduce or eliminate the menace of destructive floods on the rivers within the borders of our state, and at the same time, help to maintain our underground water supply, which is doubly valuable in a period of drought such as we face today. We have made great improvements in our state children's homes and in our mental institutions. We have really made great strides in our program of rehabilitating our physically handicapped people so that they can take their rightful place in society, independent and self-supporting. We have substantially increased state funds for old age assistance, aid to dependent children, aid to the blind, and for child welfare. And we will continue to make maximum resources available in a realistic way to serve the needs in these fields. With the continuance of business-like efficiency and sensible economy in our state government, we can, in the next 2 years, carry forward all of the far-reaching programs which have been started under this administration without going into debt, without any new taxes or tax increases, and without any property tax for the operation of state government whatsoever. Our sound and successful financial policies must be continued. Over 1 million men and women in Iowa will vote tomorrow. Among them will be the men and women of Virginia Township in Warren County, where I have lived for 30 years. To be one in whom my neighbors could place their trust has been my greatest ambition. So I shall always treasure the way 335 of my neighbors, a number which is over 84% of the largest vote ever cast in that township, this past week voluntarily signed an open letter to the citizens of Iowa vouching for my honesty and integrity. Many of you who hear my voice tonight may never know me well. To you I offer the assurance that I could not receive the continued confidence of my neighbors if I had failed to merit it. In the final analysis, the governor is a neighbor of all the people in the state. It has been my privilege in this office to be a neighbor, to work with you and for you in the cause of good government, seeking constantly to form those policies and carry into effect those programs which serve the best interests of all of the people in the state. I sincerely appreciate the broad and general support which my administration has received from the people of this great state. And in the closing moments of this campaign, I want to assure you that it is to you, the people, that I look to for support in this election tomorrow. If you desire to see a continuation of honest, clean, business-like government in the state of Iowa, if you desire to see these beneficial programs carried on to greater successes on behalf of the people of Iowa, I ask you in all sincerity to join with my good neighbors everywhere and vote for my reelection as governor of Iowa tomorrow. Thank you, everyone, and good night.
You have been listening to the Governor of Iowa, the Honorable William S. Beardsley, who spoke to you from the Governor's home in Des Moines. This was a paid political broadcast sponsored by the Republican State Central Committee.
WHO and WHO-FM Des Moines.